Blog Talk Radio.
Yesterday had an overwhelming turnout of amazing supporters on the show yesterday. I am so excited about everything that's happening and all the people that is turning out to support. I am so blessed. I want to thank those people who have tuned in tonight. Tonight actually is a Then I got to back home, and then I had technology problems, so we just call that off. So here we are on tonight. As a matter of fact, my guests that are going to be on tonight, they have been waiting for 2 weeks to be on, so I am very thankful that they are so patient in coming on, and they have an amazing story. And I know that each and every person who will be listening to what they're saying will be able to look into their own lives and said, you know, what am I doing to create a legacy? What am I doing to make a difference in somebody's life? Because as you all know, you don't need to have a lot to make a difference. You just need to have a willingness to make a difference. So I want to remind you that you can call in 646-915 to ask any questions, or if you yourself, if you are making a difference in some way in somebody else's life. I want you to call 58166. The chat room is up and running. I want to welcome guest 19582 and guest 20504 to the chat. I'm here cuddled up with my Toby, my cat. He's not accustomed to me not paying attention to him this time, so he's right here in my lap. So if you all hear anybody saying anything other than me, that is Toby. So I am excited about tonight's show. I want to remind you to join me on Wednesday again, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, and again on Sunday evening at 7 to 8:30 p.m. So without any other delay, and for those of you who are emailing me about the free coaching sessions, you don't need to email me unless you return the survey form that I sent you, because that is what qualifies you to get the 30 minutes of free coaching. So please don't email me and ask about it unless you return your survey form, because that's what I look on to see whether or not I am able to help you. So without any further delay, I want to bring on live my guests. They have been in virtual green room hanging out with me. So I'm so honored that they are staying up late so that they can tell their story. So, gentlemen, are you there? Gene and Joshua, are you there?
Yes, we are, Daphne.
All right, wonderful. Thank you guys for being so patient in coming on. And thank you guys for coming on the show tonight, although it is so late. But, you know, technology has a mind of its own. And but I'm just so thankful that you're here now and we are going to be able to tell the story. So why don't you go first? Gene, why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners? Tell them who you are. Tell them about your life journey from birth until now. And after that, I'll have Joshua to do the same. And then we'll go into the story of what it is that you are doing that is so special.
Right. First, I definitely want to thank you, Daphne, for inviting us tonight to the show. Yeah, and although we've had some complications with the equipment, but I know, obviously, tonight we're here, so we're definitely going to make the best of it. And I definitely want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for giving me this opportunity to present to your audience what it is that we do. But my name is it's Jean Josue, but people call me Jean for short. Some people call me Jean. And I was born really in Haiti for the first couple of years of my life till I was 9 years old. And I came here in the States and lived in Danbury all of my life, Danbury, Connecticut. There's not really much about my life that I can really say, but I grew up here since then. I'm 33 years old now, and I've always had a passion for kids. Let me just say that up front, that I've always had this passion to help children. So every single job I've had somehow was tied to kids. Even right now, I'm a school bus driver in the town of Richfield. So all my life, I've been dealing with a lot of kids, and it's just one of my passions. Again, there's not really much to my life besides that, really. I'm not sure what else you want to know.
Mm-hmm. No, but that's good, because a lot of times people connect with our stories. We are all so special in life, and a lot of times we say, oh, nothing important, nothing exciting has happened in my life. But as you travel your life's journey, you come to understand that each moment and every aspect of your life and who you are is indeed unique and special. Because unless they clone us, there's nobody else like us out there. And a lot of people come into this world and they die without their music being played, their song being sung, their homes being built, because they were so afraid of stepping out and doing something that is different. So every aspect of what you do is special. So there is a lot to your life.
Right, right. Well, definitely, once you put it that way, then, yeah. But, I mean, the outside person looking at my life, they'd probably say this is one boring guy. He doesn't do anything fun. He's not exciting, blah, blah, blah. But like you said, this is me, you know, and it's always been my background.
That's right. And that's what people need to understand about their authenticity. I was speaking with a client yesterday, and I was telling him, other people is really not your concern. projecting best you is your responsibility. So stop focusing on what other people are saying or thinking about you.
Right.
When you look in the mirror, what are you seeing?
Right.
You have a conversation with that person that is looking back, because that's the only person that you have control over. You know?
That's right.
Yeah. So, Joshua, let me hear from you, my brother.
Yes. Joshua, I was born here in Danbury, Connecticut. I lived here all my life. My parents are from Haiti. And so I'm second generation Haitian. And I've always just had a passion of wanting to give back to Haiti. I never knew how. But as you can see today, we're on the show and we're going to talk about how we're doing that now. And I'm really happy to be a part of that. And I'm also a musician. And just seeking to glorify God in all things.
So what kind of instruments do you play?
Well, I play the drums, I play the bass, and I actually sing and I rap.
Oh, wonderful, yeah. wonderful. So it's good to hear young men doing amazing things. So let us start about what you're doing. How did the thought about this project? I want you to tell the people about the project. And when you became aware about the project, how did this thought start it off?
Okay, this started basically being that we're both Christian, we've always felt a calling on our lives to do something different, to not just take for ourselves, but also to give back to the less fortunate. I took a recent trip to Haiti last summer. I went back to my hometown.
Summer of 2012.
Yeah,
the reason I'm repeating the year, because the show remains on archive. So
right,
30
right.
years down the road when somebody's listening to it, we need.
Yeah, it was exactly in June of 2012. I went back to Haiti for vacation. I haven't been there for over 10 years. The last time I was there was 10 years ago. What was that?
I don't know. I'm not hearing them. I don't know if anybody is.
Can you hear me? I can hear you okay.
Are you there, G?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
No, I am.
Okay. I'm sorry about that.
No, need for an apology. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I went back in June 2012 after 10 years of not being there. And I was very shocked to see that almost nothing has changed in over 10 years. The place that I'm from is called Pont-Parisien.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a highly tourist area, so there are barely anybody that really knows about this area. So a lot of things that happen over there, the world does not know it because nobody really pays attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, in 2010, Haiti suffered a devastating earthquake in the capital, which is Port-au-Prince. Now, a lot of those people that escaped that area, a lot of them went to the bordering towns. They all went to other places where they can live. And fortunately, the place where I'm from, Pont-Parisien, opened its borders to these people. And there are, still to this day, so many still living in camps and in houses that were built for them. So they still don't have their own homes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, being that the area I'm in was overpopulated to begin with, as far as if you're counting how many people there are and the resources that they have, there were definitely not enough resources for the people. But now there's even more of a population because of these people that fled from Port-au-Prince. Now they're in the area. And when I was there, I just saw the devastation that it had on the population, especially with the kids. The kids is what really tore my heart when I saw it, because I was just meeting with a couple of friends, and they invited me to see the programs they were doing with their kids. And I saw kids laying on the ground, sleeping on the ground, on the bare ground, with no mat, nothing. This was outside on the bare ground. And I said, this is 2012, and kids are still living like this. I'm talking about these kids. They looked at me as if I was some type of a savior. They looked at me as if I was not one of them. And I remember being there myself as a kid. And I'm thinking, I am now 32 years old, and you guys are still where I was 32 years ago. Why is this happening like this? And I did not, and I knew it wasn't right, and I knew it wasn't the way it was supposed to be. But the poverty is extreme in Haiti. And if I want to make one thing clear, is that Haiti is among the top 3% of the poorest nations in the world. And it's the poorest in the West. So there's a lot to say when we talk about poverty. There's a lot to say. I cannot say that I was among the poorest in the country, but I did not grow up having everything. And to see these kids that have even less than I had, as tough as I had it, these kids have less than I had, it was very heartbreaking. So I said, I have to do something to give back to my own town. This is the town I grew up in. This is the town I was born in. So I had to give back somewhere to my town. And when I came back, it's funny because when the Lord works, the Lord doesn't just use one person. He will confirm it in somebody else. And you both will have the same, or whoever it is, will have the same idea, the same vision, the same intensity. So I came back, and I mentioned nothing. But Joshua was at a point of his life where he was also going through, I guess you could say, spiritual growth. And he started mentioning how there's stuff that he has to do, he has to give back. And I said, you know what, I really felt this also, and I really want to give back to my own home. So this is what I would like to do. And we both sat and we spoke about it, and we came up with Life Unlimited Charities, which is an organization that focuses on the Haitian children in that area, not just the Haitian children, but the poorest of the poorest in that area of in that part of Haiti. And we focus on the school children especially, because the school children, it's funny because here we think that public schooling is free. We don't even think of spending money every day to send your kids to high school or even elementary school or even kindergarten. But in Haiti, we do not have public schooling yet. So schooling right now, $15 to $20 a month, nobody here can imagine not being able to pay $15 to $20 a month for education. But every day I saw kids get sent home. This is while I was there. I was hearing so many kids get sent home because they could not afford $15 to $20 a month.
I'm sitting here and I'm listening to what you're saying, and you said something that was profound, that when God uses you, he doesn't just use one person. Because when I am through with our conversation, I'm going to be sharing a similar conversation that the Lord had me embarked on last year too at the end. And I hope you'll have the opportunity to listen, because all it calls for is our obedience. Someone in the chat room wrote the U.S. promise. Okay, someone in the chat room wrote that the U.S. government promised Haiti $100 million. Did this happen? Did you know anything about that, Gene?
What I can say about that, I don't know every single detail about that. What I can say about that is, while I was there, I did ask questions about what happened with all the money that that was being sent to Haiti. Now, unfortunately, I could not get a straight answer from anybody that could really bring me to. But based on what I saw with my very own eyes, the devastation that I was still able to visit, I can honestly say I do not see where all that money is going. Again,
the thing with government funding, it normally does not get to the bottom as quickly as it ought to. So we need to focus on what we can do to make a difference, because if we spend all our energy focusing on the government dollars, there are lots of things that is not going to get attended to. So I mean, you would need to have conversation with the leaders to find out where that money go. And but I don't think you had time for that, you know?
No, I definitely did not have time for that. But I did visit the capital, where the court, you could say ground zero of the earthquake. I visited the Haitian White House, I guess you could say. And really, all the debris was still there. I visited one of the most popular cathedrals in Haiti. I mean, these are tourist attractions. It's still there. And I'm like, where is this money going? I thought you guys were supposed to clean this place, make it look beautiful, so people can come and get that tourist money in there to help the country. But this place was still chaotic, and I really did not understand why that money. So I really stopped asking questions, and I said, let me not focus about what they're doing.
Exactly, because you know something, a colleague of mine, Donna, I met her on Blog Talk Radio, and the Lord has called her. She has given up her life here in the U.S., and she has moved down to Haiti, where she purchased a home and renovating it to house the people down there that are being devastated. And I get her blog as often as I send it out, so I'm kept abreast of what's going on there. So,
right.
I mean, we can't focus on what the government is doing. We got to say, what can I do? Let me read what the person wrote here. Haiti used to be an exporter of rice, and it's consumes U.S. produced rice.
Mm-hmm.
How is this, and what can be done to change this? To change what, though? I'm not sure what they're asking about. I'm going to invite this person to call in, because it will be quicker moving ahead, because I'm sure you're hearing Pinaki. How is what different? I'm not sure what you're asking. Why don't you call in? The number to call is 646-915-8166. You can please call in and we can just have you say what you're saying, and it's going to be much quicker. All right. So continue.
Okay, so, yes, I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so after I saw what me and Josh sat and we spoke about is what is the best way to really impact the area without using too many resources at the quickest possible time, because a lot of these...
Hold on, I want to stop you there.
Okay.
And I want to hear from Joshua, and then we're going to pick up right where you are after Joshua's reply. Joshua, you were born in the U.S. You're an American, second generation Haitian, you said.
That's correct.
When you heard about what's happened there, have you ever been to Haiti?
I have not been to Haiti.
Good, but what made you say yes?
Well, when John actually came back with all the footage of the kids, and I just watched the kids, and I'm looking at them. And, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I watched the footage of the kids, and when I see them, the idea came to my head that was my mom, that was my dad. Those young kids were my parents essentially, and they didn't have an opportunity, basically. They didn't have the luxuries that we have over here in America, the things that we kind of take for granted sometimes, that we think that that we have to have are mere luxuries to them over there. Like John said, a lot of the kids were just laying on the floor on dirt, on rock, and even if you looked at some of the kids' heads, they didn't have the proper shampooing, so their hygiene just wasn't correct. So it's just like when you see that, it just moves something in you. So, like I said, I was supposed to go to Haiti with Jean that time, but due to different circumstances, I couldn't make
right.
it. But after seeing that and after relating that and seeing that, that's what my mom went through. That's what my dad went through. And it's like, you feel compelled to have to give back.
All right. We have a caller. Let me hear from the caller, and I'll be back with you, gentlemen. Caller, good evening. Your last four digits are 4644. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
This is Pianchi calling from the Midwest.
Hello. How are you? You're calling from where?
The Midwest.
Oh, wonderful. Where in the Midwest are you?
In the St. Louis area.
Oh, well, thank you so much for staying up this late with me. I know you're a first time. I've never seen you here on my platform before, but know you're home, and I hope to see you come back.
Yes, I guess you're out there in Jamaica, Queens.
No,
New York
as a matter
area.
Of fact, I am in Connecticut, yes.
Oh, Connecticut. Well, the
yes.
question I asked in the Internet is that we have a Haitian association here in this area, and I'm very, acquainted with the Haitians.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have been following the history of Haiti for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, as I mentioned before, at one point in time, Haiti was an exporter of rice.
Mm-hmm.
But today it's an importer of U.S.-produced rice.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like not only Haiti, but when you look at black communities, societies around the world,
mm-hmm.
we're looking for charities. We're
mm-hmm.
looking for outside help rather than doing
mm-hmm.
these things for ourselves. Now, there's
mm-hmm.
enough black talent in the United States alone, and Haitians are very highly educated, the ones that's here.
Mm-hmm.
Why come, some of this talent is not going back to develop their country? Even if you just took one segment like agriculture and providing
mm-hmm.
other people with the implementation and the mechanization that they need where
mm-hmm.
they don't have to be depending on
mm-hmm.
Western-produced rice.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give John an opportunity to answer and Abir because he's probably more astute of what's happening in Haiti. But I can't be in agreement with you more, and I'll tell you why. If I just steal a couple of moments here to just talk about something that I'm doing. After this segment, I'm going to be talking about it. But I am implementing in my program that I'm doing something exactly that you're saying, because I'm looking to start the breakfast feeding program at my old school in Jamaica. And you are so right. When I went there, I went through the same system like the kids that were there. But what's different now and why they go to school hungry is that all of their parents, the younger generation, they have become so Americanized. Nobody wants to do the farming. Nobody wants to do those things that was happening when I was a child. When I was a child. And I know I went to the same school, poor and hungry. But you know what? Every morning I had breakfast going to school because my parents would save something from the night before, a piece of yellow yam or a dumpling, and they would put it on the wood fire charcoal to warm it up for me to eat. So I've never gone there hungry. But now what's happening? The young people don't want to find more. So what I am implementing in my program is that they will farm the produce that is cooked at the kitchen. I'll buy it from them for the program, but I'm not going there to hand anything out to them. So I'm in such agreement with you on that. So I just had to steal that little part there to talk about that. So, Jean.
Yes.
You heard what Pinaiki, I'm
yes.
sure I'm pronouncing it. You heard what he said?
Yes, I heard the question,
okay.
And it's an excellent question. In fact, on my way to Haiti the first time in June, I was actually sitting in front of this young lady who studied here in America, and she actually lived in Haiti and using whatever she learned in Haiti to help the people. And this is definitely something that I know Haiti, the area I live in, needs. That's why we focus mainly on the children and their education, because
mm-hmm.
through the education, we can implement systems where they learned agriculture, where they learned these different things, which is why it's very important that we want them to stay in school so that they can learn these tools and take it back and actually use it and start making a living off of it. But because, like he said, Haiti used to be number one exporter of rice, sugarcane, mangoes, a lot of these good things that grew up in Haiti. Haiti was the soil there. Basically, you would grow whatever you wanted to grow. You would grow it easily over there. But now, like you said, the kids do not want to take up that art because they want to follow the American lifestyle. That's why I want to focus on the education of the kids while they're young, because if we indoctrinate them the proper way at the young age that they are, then they can grow up and actually use what they learn to help their own country and not waste their life doing something mm-hmm. totally different that's useless to the country.
We still have to teach them the spirit and the intelligence of resilience.
That's
you
right.
know, our people have very low resilience intelligence, and we are not going to be getting them all, but we just have to start where we are and get one and hope that one will teach another one, like what you two guys are doing here. And I know my I have a couple of other friends I know who are Haitian, and they are doing phenomenal work in getting it done. But you cannot look at masses. You just have to look and carve out a section
right.
where you can focus on. Was that a good enough answer, a satisfactory answer for you, Pinaki?
Well, yes, I can understand the individual efforts. But keep in mind, it's going to take a greater effort than individual efforts. Because mm-hmm. if you look at the conditions of Black Americans, especially in your urban areas. Mm-hmm. And at one point in time, we used to control the schools, especially the food that the children eat. Now
mm-hmm.
those are provided by some other people, Sodexo, mm-hmm. which is French, Aramac, which is UK. And mm-hmm. you have to produce that economy where you can own and control your own schools and what it is that mm-hmm. the children are being taught. So I just wanted to bring that out. And see, Haiti is an economic market that needs to be exploited. By Haitian. I'm from St. Louis here.
No. But were you born in Haiti?
No, I wasn't born in Haiti.
Okay. I have a dear friend in St. Louis, Dr. Higginbottom, Gerald.
Yeah,
I know Gerald.
Yes, I know Gerald Higginbottom.
Yeah,
he used to be an airline pilot, yes. Harold Compera is here in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
He's an anesthesiologist at one of the hospital complexes is here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
So that's what I'm saying. You know, and until Black people, and it's just not Haiti. I mean, you just by point the finger any place. I spent a lot of time
that's
in
right.
Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to change our own conditions. We have
that's
to
right.
concentrate on becoming competitive in the world against other
mm-hmm.
forces. Those people, those countries that promised Haiti all that aid, that's not their concern. Their concern is to strategically locate themselves in Haiti to exploit them
that's
for
right.
possibilities.
Right.
And we have to be
and
frank
that,
with that. Mm-hmm. We have to concentrate on that.
And people got to focus.
And I definitely understand that. And one thing I just wanted to speak to is what you said with
is that Joshua?
Yes, this is Joshua.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I want to speak to one thing that you said is going to take more than an individual effort, and that is so true. But we gotta remember that it does take one person to start. It does take one person to create that momentum, that one person to start it. So we're definitely looking to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, that's great of you.
So, Pinaki, I want to please ask if you would follow my show, Market Favorites, so that you come back. If you are on LinkedIn, and I just put my my website in the chat room, check me out and see what I'm about, and if there's any way I can add value. As a matter of fact, my TV show used to be aired out here in St. Louis, and the woman that was the sponsor, she just fell off. So I need to get my show back out there, so. We probably need to connect to see what we can do together. You sound like
what
it's
was
been
the lady's,
wonderful.
What was the lady's name?
Oh, I forget her name right now. I forgot her name. But my show was called A New Day. It was on HKDX TV on Tuesdays, 5:30, and on Thursdays at 6:30. I had it on 2 days. The thing, no, that's not really true. She was not the sponsor. Dr. G was the sponsor, and she, because he's an airline pilot, she was the person that volunteered that she would pick up the shows and renew the contract and all of that. And somewhere in the middle, everything got flustered. So So that's what it is.
I haven't seen Mr. Higginbotham in quite some time, but I will look for him. But anyway, you guys go ahead and carry on, and the gentleman, keep up the good work. And just talk about what you just heard tonight. Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you very much for taking the time to call. Wonderful. It is always encouraging when you hear that other people is supporting what you're doing. And to know, although it's 9-something at night, this gentleman took time from the Midwest to call in. So I honor him for doing that. So I had cut you off, Joshua, to take Pinaki's call. So go ahead. Joshua?
Yes.
Continue with what you were talking about, that when Jean relayed to you, you visualize that being your parents going through that. So although you have never been to Haiti, you felt compelled.
Correct. I felt compelled to have to help, because it's like, even though it's not directly you, it could be somebody else. It could be your cousin. It could be your aunt. It could be your mom. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. and like I said, I've always had a passion from the beginning, since I was little, to try to help Haiti, because Haiti was always had so much need, and mm-hmm. I never knew how. So when Jean came back and he showed me the footage, and I spoke with him with what was on my heart, and he shared the same, that's how mm-hmm. Life Unlimited Charities came.
Mm-hmm. So, gentlemen, and both of you can take this question. When you approach other people to tell them about what you're doing, what are some of the feedbacks that you've got?
As far as feedback, mainly everybody has been so far very, very supportive, because they, especially those that really know me, they know my heart for helping others. So when they heard that I was doing this, a lot of them immediately said, great job. I know you're going to do a good job with this. So I haven't really had anybody really question the fact that I decided to go out and start this. And I haven't had anybody to discourage me either. So everybody mm-hmm. really has been very encouraging.
All right. We need them to be more than encouraging. We need them to open their billfolds and their purses and their checkbooks. Because that's when you know they're really encouraging you. You know,
right.
I'm going through the same thing with mine. And
right,
I said,
right.
Yeah, it's all good encouragement. You know I do a good job. Well, show me I do a good job. Write me a check.
Exactly.
You know?
I can't take encouragement over to them.
That's right. That's right. So our people need to support the things that they believe in. And it's like pulling teeth, you know, to get
right.
people to really contribute. And honestly,
right.
to God, it doesn't take a lot. If everybody would give $3 and $4, you would be surprised to know how it adds up.
It really does not take a lot at all. And me and Josh were sitting there talking one day, and we realized that if one person gave $10 a month, that $10 will help to keep somebody in school, but it may even help for that kid to have a meal while they're in school, mm-hmm. because a lot of these kids go to school without lunches, without breakfast, mm-hmm. and they go home not eating anything, and they go home not even knowing if they will eat anything at home. And the
mm-hmm.
teachers themselves are complaining of hunger. Now, how is a child able to learn when their stomach is growling? They're not even going to be able to hear the teacher over a growling stomach. So
$10
makes a big difference. But
mm-hmm.
to us here, $10 is what? Almost a cup of coffee at Starbucks.
Yeah,
you know,
yes.
A
donut. We can't call the name on the show, Gene, because they don't sponsor the show. So we can't
correct.
Give them any flow.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm
we'll just say those expensive coffee places.
Right. Yes.
Because
$10 depending on other stuff, but that could
help
somebody.
We can't give them any free plug here. When you look on the long-range goal of what you have created, what kind of a legacy you would want to see evolve out of this?
The number one thing I would say that I want to see, let's say 10, 15, 20 years from now, is the same kids that I saw that had no hope, they in turn are self-sufficient. They are helping themselves. They are helping their families. And they in turn are pouring back into the younger generation, because I would like to see it as a change, as a just rolling over itself nonstop, keep going. Everybody giving back. And I grabbed your hand, you grab somebody else's hand, so they can grab somebody else's hand. That's the only way this area will get out of the poverty that they are in. But currently, mm-hmm. nobody's able to help anybody because everybody's in the same boat of mm-hmm. poverty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So to me,
Joshua, what would you like the long-range goal to be?
I could piggyback off of what he said. I actually say in a song, who do you look up to when everybody that's around you has to look up to? So it's mm-hmm. like when you're in a circumstance where everybody that's around you is looking up and cannot help one another, it's you need somebody that's there. And I my hope is that in the future that these kids will be self-sufficient and self-reliant and be able to turn around and help the younger generation come up just as they did, and that they might continue the cycle and give back, providing each other with the opportunity. That's what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to provide these kids with an opportunity so that they might provide someone else with an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. So, Jean, what do you have in place to get the support of other Haitians in this state or in the tri-state area?
I have a cousin who's very much connected when it comes to the Haitian community in the New York area especially. He has a radio program, so he's trying to get me on there, and he's spreading the word out. I've spoken to some Haitians that's in the Danbury area, and I'm looking to get into the Haitian churches so that way I can present this to them and see if they will join hands with Life Unlimited Charities so that way we can work together. I'm heavily on Facebook. Life Unlimited Charities has a Facebook presence. It's facebook.com/Life Unlimited Charities. I've been hitting up all the Haitians that's on there, and so far they're really up to really joining hands with us and helping us out in any way that they can.
And when is your deadline to get this program started?
Well, we have launched the website. We have officially launched already. I'm not sure if you mean when was our deadline, basically.
I was going to ask about the website too, but are you already sending resources to them already, or something you want to commence in the future?
Oh, you know what? We've been sending resources long before the website was done. Again, we're not trying to wait for a perfect time or anything. LifeUnlimitedCharities.org is the website. It's all set up. As far as resources that we've been sending, I'm glad that you brought that up.
Say it slower.
Okay. LifeUnlimitedCharities.org is the website. And as of today, my mom just told me that a friend of ours is putting a trailer together to get stuff over there, to get some products over there, and he's allowing us a certain amount of space. So right now we've been looking for hard items like clothes, especially kids' clothes mainly, clothes, baby food, diapers, those type of things. In the Denver area especially, I could pick it up. But as far as we're not waiting for anything, we're not waiting for a perfect time. We've launched this. I mean, this is stuff that me and Josh has been doing long before the idea even came up. Being Haitians, we constantly send resources to Haiti to help out those that we can. It's just that as far as Life Unlimited Charities coming together, that allows us to really reach out and to help join hands with other people so that way we can make a bigger impact.
All right. So Joshua.
Yeah.
Is he hearing? Okay. What would you like to see happen from what goals, and this is for both of you gentlemen, what goals do you have in mind? What benchmarks, what time you want to see what's happening, you know? How many children would you like to be able to say, oh, I changed the lives of so many, we feed in so many. Have you thought about that?
Yes, and especially in the school that they have, there's about 350 students, and our goal is to impact the lives of each and every one of them.
What ages?
They range from kindergarten to elementary, I'd say around sixth grade, I believe. That's where it goes up to. And right now, all the 350 kids are meeting in the school director's house, which is a two-story house. So can you imagine 350 kids in one house?
Mm-hmm.
It's very cramped. It's very hot. So Haiti is definitely hot. They don't have air conditioning. So what our focus is really to, one, bring a meal system to the school where the kids can have a meal during the time that they are there. Also to help keep the kids in school. Now, I learned that the school is planning to build their own school. Again, we're not trying to we're going to build a school for you. But if we can help in getting the school started, if we can help in the building of the school, that will change the lives of 350 plus
young people.
You know? So we're not
future leaders.
Exactly. So if these kids can get out of this cramped, hot house into a regular school building, they can learn properly, they'll feel better about themselves, they'll be more motivated to go to school. And all of these little things will make a big difference when it comes to their education and whether or not they go to school.
That's right. Because, you know, we all know that the most important meal of the day is breakfast.
Right.
And a part of what I need to do for my program and what you need to do for your program is to teach the recipient that they need to take responsibility. So we don't want to program them to always have in their handout, unless it's a hand that is extended to raise somebody up.
That's right.
Because if we are believing in them, then they must believe in themselves and in turn shows somebody else that they believe in them.
That's
so
right.
I want to give you a few minutes to both summarize and leave the people with some insight on what it is you want to leave them with to ponder about Life Unlimited Charities. I want you to speak, and I want Joshua to speak, and then at the end, if you would please give out the contact information for them to get in touch with you or look at your website, please.
All right. So Life Unlimited Charities is basically what
this
what
is,
we want.
Joshua?
This is Joshua, correct.
Okay, I always have to say who you are because it's two people, so I need the listeners to know who is speaking.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
All right, and this is Joshua and Life Unlimited Charities. What we want listeners to take away from this is an opportunity, providing the children over in Front Paysan with an opportunity to become a leader, an opportunity to become someone that can in turn turn around and help also. So we're focusing on the children and that's what we really want to push is the children, because we understand that the children are the future. So we're focusing on the children, and if you would provide them with the opportunity.
Okay,
this is Jean. I just want to talk a little bit about the website, because going into this, me and Josh made it clear that we want to be very, very transparent to anybody that is interested in joining hands with us. So on the website, you'll be able to see all the pictures of things that we've already done, things that we are currently doing, and things that we hope or that we are looking to do in the near future. And we leave it up to the person that's looking to see how it is they want to get involved with us, because whether or not we say we want to do this, it's really up to the public to really
join hands with us and help us reach the goals that we are trying to do for these kids. We are on Facebook. If you can like the page, facebook.com/Life Unlimited Charities. We post pictures. We're always on there talking about what we're doing, showing pictures of what we're actually doing, videos of what we're doing. So we are very open about what we're doing, and we try to hide nothing from the people. And the one thing I would like anybody to take out of this is that, oh, by the way, the website is lifeunlimitedcharities.org. The one thing I would like for anybody to take from this is that we're not set out to save the world. We're not set out to save the whole country of Haiti. We're set out to make a difference, and even one child, if one child wakes up tomorrow and says, I was able to graduate, I was able to finish school because Life Unlimited Charities was there. If that's the one thing we ever get to do, you know what, then we have done what God has called us to do, because we do not depend on ourselves. We depend on the Lord God to provide what we need, and our faith is in Him that He will continue to do and finish doing what He has started to do. So really, when anybody goes on our website, we want them to feel comfortable. Hey, I know these guys. Hey, you know what? I heard these guys on the radio. Hey, these guys are really upfront. Hey, I feel like I'm family with these guys. That's what we really want people to feel like. You're just using us to help them. We're just the middleman. Okay, we're not lords over anybody. We're just the middleman. How do I help these kids? Well, Life Unlimited Charities will get your help to them. That's how I really want people to see this. You can contact us at info@lifeunlimitedcharities.org. Again, that's info@lifeunlimitedcharities.org. Our telephone number is area code 203-744-9385. Again, we're on YouTube, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. Once you go on Facebook, you'll be able to get the information for all the rest via Twitter account, the YouTube account. Website is lifeunlimitedcharities.org.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen, very much. And as I mentioned, I'm going to be sharing about my project that I'm doing, because I think it's just fitting as well, because people need to be obedient into what they're called to do. So I want to thank you both for coming on and for sharing. You have my prayers. And, you know, just continue doing what God has called you to do.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having us.
All right. You're very welcome. And now I'm just going to take a break for a commercial.
If you're a woman of faith, you've got to attend Designing Your Personal Awesome Future with Dr. Deanna Murphy on April 6th at the Hilton Garden Inn in Fort Washington, PA. If you're ready to renovate, redesign, and renew your soul, join Dr. Deanna, America's expert on life design, as she helps you to let go of your past, identify solutions for fear of failure, experience inner healing, and much more. Register now at myawesomefuture.eventbrite.com.
All right. We are so proud to be one of the sponsors for that event. And, you know, it's amazing, like the gentleman just mentioned about going to Haiti for a vacation and noticed the area he was from, what the children was going to. And for those of you who heard me when I came back from Jamaica, realized that something similar happened in my life, where I was on vacation in Jamaica. For the first 8 days that I was there, I was attending a church service in Montreal. Where I was born and raised. And I was very excited to take my son there to show him around, because I had not took him there before. And just to like retread my step and my journey, and I began showing Javonte around. And, you know, I took him to the section where I used to walk the trails to go up to the mountain. And When I showed Javon where to drive the car, he said, Mommy, car can't drive there. I said, yes, it can. Just take your time. And with tears in his eyes, when I got to the section, I told him to stop here, and I pointed and show him where I used to walk to go home. With tears in his eyes, my son said to me, Mommy, I always heard you mentioned about your humble beginnings, but now I get it, and now I understand what you mean. And after that little voyage, I said to him, I want to take you to my church where I grew up as a child, and I want to show you my school where I attended. And to my surprise, when I went to the Carmel Moravian Church, when I was growing up as a child, there was a little horse stable, a little shed, where now I'm realizing that the people who used to ride horses to church, they were rich. As a child, I didn't realize that, because I didn't know we were poor. But now from the eyes of an adult, I can understand what was going on. And now I notice that that little horse shed was now converted into an early childhood preschool center. So I pointed it out to my son. I took a picture and I told him, this horse shed, he wants to go to the old school. I was like a little girl again, just running over that compound. And when I got down to the bottom, I noticed the size of the kitchen, the canteen, was the same size. I walked up to the window, and I said to the lady, I used to take my meals through this window too. I attended this school. However, there were some things that was different. I looked in the kitchen. Instead of the cooking being done on log fire, the cooking now was being done on an electric stove. Because when I grew up there at the Carmel School, there was no electricity there at all. And I said to the woman, oh, you now have a gas stove. She says, yes, ma'am, and we have a fridge too, because we now have electricity. So it was like you heard Jean said that nothing changed when he went back there. My classroom was the same thing. They put a new roof on the school. There's part of the section leading from the canteen to the classroom, because the students pick up their meals from the canteen and then walk back to the classroom to eat their meals. And a part of that section was now cemented. So they have that level cement to walk on. So then I walked back from the canteen and continued to go to the school building, which is just a stone throw. It's just a couple of yards. And I asked for the principal, who was Miss Vendolyn Richards. She is someone I knew as a girl. And here she was now at the school as the principal of the school for over 30 years. And she came out and gave me the biggest hug, and she looked up and she said, there is a God. She said, for many years, I prayed day and night that I will see you again, because I had not seen you since I was a little girl. And I remember how kind you were to me. I looked at her and I said, Gwen, is this you? And she said, yes. And we hugged and we cried. And, you know, her sister, who was my age, had passed on. And we spoke about Gloria a little bit. And we spoke about her mother and all her other siblings, and she updated me then, and I said to her, how is the school? And she said, now you remember when you guys were growing up, you guys did not get to go to high school automatically. You had to pass the scholarship. But now children goes to high school automatically. They stay here from the preschool until age 13, and then they go to 12, and then they go to high school. They can choose to go to Black River, Darlington, or Savannah Mar. But she says, Miss Sweetie, there is one pressing problem. And I said, what is it? And she said to me that the children are coming to school hungry. The minute she said those words, as I am speaking to you now, ladies and gentlemen, I could clearly hear a voice inside of me telling me that is the reason I sent you here today. And that was why when Gene said what he said, I immediately connected with what happened when he went on his vacation. As I heard those voices, tears ran out my eyes, and I looked at Gwendolyn and I said to her, I don't know how I am going to do it, but the one thing I know is that I will get a breakfast feeding program set up for the children of this school. And out of that came the Empowering People Foundation, which is a nonprofit that will be hosting the Carmel Moravian School Breakfast Feeding Program. At the top of the hour, you heard me made mention when Pinaki had called in, you heard me made mention about how we are going to be empowering the parents of those children. My plan is to, I have already requested the lands from the church, because the land, the church has lots and lots and lots of idle land. And I have asked the church whether they would allow the parents for the children who are attending the school to farm the lands. We will provide the seed, whatever it is they want to produce. We will provide them with the seed. They can farm the land. Each family can decide to farm something different. And we will be purchasing the produce from them, and we will use it in the cafeteria. This is a way of empowering those families so they're not just looking for handouts. They are going to be able to supply organic foods to the cafeteria. It's going to be fresh. So instead of her going to the market to shop for the entire week, every 2 days, the farmers / parents could be delivering the food fresh to the kitchen. So I'm excited about that. And for those of you who are listening, I will be reaching out to you to ask for your help and your support when I decide to go down there and to do the brainstorming session about the training that I need to provide for these parents to empower them to build the resource that can benefit them. And if they are serious about that and really take it on and be committed about this, there is enough land there that they can grow enough produce that they can begin to supply other schools throughout the parish of Westmoreland and even St. Elizabeth, because there is Beersheba School and New Road School and all the other schools in the area. If they can grow enough produce, they can begin to sell those produce to the different school districts. So that's one way of empowering. I have a GoFundMe page that is set up. Every donation that you give will be a tax write-off because you are giving to the Empowering People Foundation Incorporated. I pray, I ask that you support not just my project, but also the Life Unlimited charities. As I said at the top of the hour, it does not take a lot for you to contribute. My donations start at $5. However, if you only have a dollar, I encourage you to seek some people out that have an additional dollar, and you put it to your dollar, and you can pool the resources and you can give that. Alongside the breakfast feeding program, the Lord has also showed me that we need to raise enough money to build a cafeteria. So the people, when the students get their meals, they don't have to go back to the classroom. They can sit in the cafeteria, enjoy their meals, and have good fellowship with their classmates, because everybody's going to be in the open cafeteria there versus going back to their section of the classroom and just being isolated. So, as I tell you, it does not take a lot of money to do this. You can support in whatever way. I already have people who has said to me, put my name on the list because when you go down to launch, I want to be there. When we are building, we are going to need people to go down and help us. Every little resource will help. Every little bit. And as I share my story about the Empowering People Foundation, and the gentlemen share their story about Life Unlimited charities, I want for you to ask yourselves, what am I called to do? Am I following through on that call? Is fear holding me back? Am I allowing other people to take control of what I do? Or am I constantly checking in with my Creator, my Lord and Savior, and ask for wisdom in the things that I need to do? This is not a judgmental request. It is just a self-assessment questionnaire that you can do for yourself. Ask yourself the question. Don't wait around for the perfect time or the perfect help or the perfect support, because I'm here to tell you, most of the times, you are not going to be getting it until you embark and start something. And the minute you become successful and excel, then people are going to begin to open their checkbooks, their credit cards to swipe it. All of that people are going to do, because now they are going to see that you're serious about what you're doing and that you are here for the long haul. Each and every one of us can do a spectacular job so long as we are obedient and so long as we step forward into that which we are called to do. All of us have something to give back. It might be money, it might be an embrace, it might be a kind word, it might be a smile. But whatever it is that you have to give back, do not hoard it. Be willing to give. Reach out and touch somebody's life in a very special way. Today is the only day that we have. Time is not promised to any of us. We don't know how long we are going to be here. So why don't we live one day at a time and give it our very best shot. Promise yourself that you are going to be collecting cans, whatever it is that you have to do, and you are going to sell those, you're going to collect the deposit, and you're going to use it to help out in some special way. For me, I'm looking for t-shirts, I'm looking for utensils, plates and forks and cups and cereal bowls and everything. I'm looking for everything because we want to allow the utensils for the breakfast program to be different from the one for the lunch program. This way, when we are also going to be hiring a cook for the breakfast program, whose focus is only going to be on the breakfast program. So we're going to need all of that. We are looking for, on our wish list, we have the wish list for somebody to pay the salary of the cook or several people who will take the responsibility of paying the salary of the cook. If you are interested in doing that, you can go right on GoFundMe.com and you can sign up. You'll see it right there and you can put your commitment there. If you are looking to contribute funds towards the airfare of the people who are going down there, do that. Whatever you your heart desires to do. On GoFundMe, I have it all structured and laid out there. You can see the different packages that you can contribute to. The other thing I want to encourage you to do is to not criticize what the government should be doing and what this person or that person should be doing, because we can really misuse valuable time when we focus on the negative. Why don't we take up the baton and follow through and do that which we can do? And as we lead, as we create a movement of going forward, going forward, going forward, before long, when you stop, you're going to see a long line behind you. Because you have gotten into motion, you have created a movement. It does not take anything special to create a movement. It just takes each and every one of us to follow our heart and to make sure and say, I know that I'm created for something special. Like Joshua mentioned, he has never been to Haiti. But as his friend shared with him, he quickly visualized, that's my mom, that's my dad. And he felt compelled to give back. What are you feeling compelled to do? Because I know each and every one of us is feeling a burning desire deep inside of us to do something. And we keep pushing it back, pushing it back, pushing it back, pushing it back. I don't want you to push it any longer. I want you to drag it out, extract it out, put it up and said, here is what I'm called to do. I need your help and I need your support. If you just joined and if you have any questions for me pertaining to the Carmel Moravian Breakfast Feeding Program, the Empowering People Foundation, Inc., please, you are welcome to call me at 646-915-8166. And guest 205004, if you have a question, you can type it in the chat room for me, and I will answer it for you. We are in the process, I tell you, we have been so blessed because we are in the process of developing the website. We're waiting on all our paperwork and everything to come back from the state. We already got our federal ID and all of that, and I am very, very excited. One of my global mentors has agreed to be my advisor, and I tell you, that in itself is an amazing blessing for me to get someone of his caliber to say, I believe in what God has called you to do, and yes, I will be your advisor and supporter, is indeed a great blessing. And I know everybody is going to be saying, oh my heavens, I can't believe it when they see his picture on the website. So, as I say, all of us can do something, whether we're doing it in our own neighborhoods, whether in our states, or whether we feel compelled to go back to our homeland. It doesn't matter. I just want for you to do something. It doesn't matter where you do it, whether you do it in the U.S., whether you do it in the U.K., Australia, Switzerland, wherever you are listening from. I just want you to get up and to do something. It is never too late to start. Never, never, never. You don't want to exit out of here without your music being played, your song being sung, your nonprofit not operating, that meal you should have cooked for somebody, you did not do it. Write these things down. You are hearing from the Lord. You just need to be obedient and to follow through on what you are called to do. So as you get these insights and you get these calling and these messages, I want you to write them down, because if you trust them to memory, you will not remember. And you know what's going to happen? Nothing. Nothing is going to happen. So you need to please just step out there and begin to make a difference. Again, I'm so excited. This is a special segment tonight. I hope you get some stirring out of that. I hope some creative juices is flowing inside of you so that you can go out there and start what it is that you are called to do. I want to remind you to come on out again on Sunday evening. And also, I want for you to join me next Wednesday. And if you have a business, or if you know anybody who has a product or service that they are looking to advertise, we are looking to start a new segment. A lot of people have been asking, why don't you promote our business? And I have a large platform now, so I'm stepping out there and doing that. So why don't you message me or message me here on the radio show? I want you to follow me on Twitter. I want you to like my fan page, facebook.com/dynamicdaphne. On LinkedIn, linkedin.com/DaphneClarkHudson. On Twitter, I'm @DynamicDaphne. Again, I thank you. I thank my honored guests for joining. I thank my guests for calling in from St. Louis. And I just want to encourage each and every one of you to keep doing God's work. This is Dynamic Daphne saying so long. And you know what? I love each and every one of you. And there ain't nothing, absolutely nothing, that you can do about this. Bye now.
What's the plan that you have for me? The place you've called me to be. Some people call it destiny. Will you let me know? What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
You've been called